When Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he talks about people who have lost something precious. He talks about a shepherd who loses a sheep out of 100. He talks about a woman who loses 1 coin out of 10 silver ones. He talks about a son who loses his way and drifts from his father's household. But all of these people live with a sense of expectation that God will not leave them forever lost, that God will restore them, that God will not leave them empty. God will act in such a way that their souls find peace. So it is, our Lord looks at his friends and says to them, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Now, do not think that by these words our Lord is saying that to lose something or someone precious to you is a blessed thing. He is not. He is not saying that to lose something precious to you is a good thing. Absolutely not. He is not saying to leap quickly from the first half of the clause to the second and be so pleased with the thrills of heaven by and by that you don't fully fathom the pain of your loss. He is not saying, do not fully grapple with the pain of losing something precious just because the by and by is going to be great. Our Lord is aware of what it means to lose something precious. He is aware of that stabbing pain that hits you in the morning, that mocking loneliness that besets you at night. Even so, he says, "Blessed are you that mourn, for beyond your pain you will find comfort." This morning I want you to understand a distinction between two words that are often confused: grieving and mourning. Grieving and mourning. Grief is the wound. Mourning is the scar. Grief is wrestling with the process of grappling with the loss. It's going through a process of emotions. It is the wound of having lost something precious. Mourning is once the wound has healed and scarred over, it's living with that scar. It's integrating the pain of that loss into your life. Grieving is looking back at the loss. Mourning is looking forward. You cannot grieve forever if you intend to live. There comes a point after 6 months or a year or 2 years or 5 years when you've grieved all that you can grieve, you begin the process of moving forward. That is the process of mourning, living with the scar. You have to understand something. Because of our confidence in God's resurrection power, our response to death is paradoxical. You would think that it would be the agnostic, the atheist, the pure materialist who would be devastated by death because they have no hope of restoration, no hope of resurrection. But the materialist, the pure secularist, just sees death as a part of life. There is no meaning to life, so there's no meaning to death. The Christian, Because of our belief in God's eschatological power, in our resurrection hope, we regard death as a scandal. We regard it as contrary to the way things should be. The secularist accepts death. We rebel against it. Because our resurrection hope gives us the power to move beyond grieving to mourning in search of the promise of comfort. How can we experience that? The great Swiss doctor and counselor Paul Tournier lost his wife to cancer. And he offered this testimony contrasting the secularist and Christian view of death. The secularist, the Freudian, he said, looks at grief as a way of putting the dead person out of our lives forever. The Christian view is exactly the opposite. He said, look, when I lost my wife, I entered into a period where now all of my life is mourning. All of my life is conversation with her. When she was around, I really neglected my daily meditations, but now I never neglect it because my rendezvous with God is also a rendezvous with her. We did everything together, and now we still do. We commune, and she is more real to me now in a different way than she was when she was in my presence. Tournier's testimony is someone who has moved from grieving to mourning. He has incorporated his loss into his life, and he is moving forward. He said plenty of people's life ends at their moment of bereavement, but they're looking always back. I'm looking forward to the promise to come. He had incorporated his loss of something precious into his life and was looking forward to the day when he would understand fully and be fully understood. You don't move quickly from grieving to mourning to comfort. It is a pilgrimage. It is a process, a painful process. But over time, eventually, you reach a pinnacle point where you can look back upon your long, dark valley of grieving and you realize you have emerged. You have emerged with insight. You have emerged with wisdom. You have emerged with strength. It is a path you wish you had never taken, a path you wish you didn't have to take, but you have taken it. And the lessons you have learned about life and about God and about yourself have defined who you are forever. You do grow. We grieve because we love. We mourn because we continue to love. And because we continue to love, our soul pushes beyond mourning to find the promise of comfort. It is a pilgrimage and a process that yields extraordinary truths, won through excruciating pain. I just remind you, my friends, there are two forms of death that can happen to us. There are the deaths that happen to us. Those we can't do anything about. There are the deaths that happen outside of us. We cannot change those. But there is also the death that can happen within us. There can be a death inside of us that kills our vitality, that quenches our spirit, that quells our hope. There are 30-year-olds walking around who've experienced death inside. Pain and alienation and estrangement and loss has killed their vitality and their hope and their faith, and they're dead inside. We can't do anything about the deaths that happen outside of us. But we have a say in the death that happen inside of us. Our Christ calls us out of our grief into our mourning, and beyond our mourning into a place of understanding and comfort. How can this be? Partly it happens by our being able to take our pain and to turn it in such a way that it has a power and a purpose. And our comfort comes in taking what we've learned to be a comfort unto others. I think of a woman named Candy Leitner, whose 13-year-old was run over by a drunk driver. A drunk driver who had been arrested many times for DUI, and in fact, even after killing her daughter, was given a light sentence. She could not reverse that loss, but she could revise its meaning. She took her loss and she turned it into a power. And she founded Mothers Against Drunk Driving to change the attitudes and the laws and the acceptance in our culture of driving under the influence. She found comfort in taking her pain and turning it into a transformative, purposeful power. I think of Christopher Reeve, Superman, who at age 42 suffered a freak horse riding accident and was left a paraplegic. He had to ask himself the question, am I going to focus on what I've lost, or am I going to focus on what I can build? He chose to build. He chose to take his pain and to turn it in a transformative, catalytic direction. He invested in movie and theatrical projects. He became a spokesperson for the paralyzed. He founded a foundation for spinal cord research. He said his injury opened his eyes to the little beauties that we're all too busy to notice. And to his amazement, after his injury as a paraplegic, he began to invest himself fully in his wife and in his children. And to his astonishment, his relationship, his marriage, and his relationship with his children became much deeper and more powerful after his injury than before. He took his pain and he poured it into a positive direction, taking what he had lost and using it to transform others. And in so doing, in being a comfort to others, he found comfort. The antonym of a mourner is not someone who's happy. It's someone who does not care. We mourn because we care. Elie Wiesel, Auschwitz survivor, who lost all of his family in the Holocaust, could have come out of the concentration camp so bitter, so focused on the horrible things that had happened to him and those he loved. Instead, he took that pain and he turned it into a positive power and became a spokesperson for peace. Won the Nobel Prize for peace. And he made this observation. The opposite of life is not death. It's apathy. The opposite of life is not death. It's apathy. Christ calls us to care, to invest ourselves, to take our pain, to take the lessons we've learned and use them to help others. To find comfort in giving comfort. Our Lord says to his friends, I will not leave you desolate. I will comfort you. The word comfort comes from a Latin word meaning fortify. Our Christ promises in our pain to fortify us. But the word in the Greek that he uses, I will not leave you desolate, I will send you a comforter, a paraclete. Paraclete. The spirit of comfort and advocacy. Our Christ promises us the spirit of advocacy and comfort. The spirit of peace. Our Lord says to us, continue to care. Continue to love. Continue to invest yourself, and you're going to find an extraordinary thing. Christians heal by healing others. Christians heal by healing others. And as we pour ourselves out, as we process the things we've lost that are precious, as we move from grief to mourning, to giving comfort to others, we find comfort, the promised comfort of Christ. And we experience exactly what he promised. Blessedness. Blessedness. Blessed are those who mourn, for by the Spirit of God they shall find comfort. May we pray together. Lord, there are some words from you that are so hard for us to hear. We can barely grasp them. But your words are not our words. Your kingdom does not operate according to our assumptions. You are a God of resurrection who restores us and renews us and brings us comfort. May we appropriate that power through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Even as you have wrestled with this difficult promise of our Lord this morning, we offer you opportunity to respond. To claim the Christ who offers you comfort in your pain as your Savior and Lord. To claim the community of Christ, to come splice your life into this fellowship and draw strength from us, even in your own struggles. Come, respond, even as we stand to sing together.